right, all right. How many of y'all enjoyed that worship time? Wasn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Well, I always do this, even though I know most of you know me, but maybe you're here for the first time, and you're like, hey, who's the guy in the ripped jeans? I am not the pastor. The pastor of this church would not be up here in ripped jeans. They are, like Pastor Justin said earlier, they are gone to Hawaii. Everybody say, aw. No, ain't nobody saying no aw for that. But no, this first part of the week, they were training, getting new vision, new insights and things for the church, and meeting with other leaders and pastors, and just being encouraged and strengthened. How many think that's a good thing that our pastors can get away and continue to be strengthened? Amen. And these next few days, now they're just strictly vacation mode. I even talked to them via FaceTime yesterday, and they were all just, you know, on the beach, had their toes out and just smiling, and I'm sitting here in the rain, like, come on now, like, for real. So, but anyway, he told me to make certain we give you guys greetings and tell you that they miss you, but not at this current time, because they don't miss you because they're in Hawaii. I asked them, I said, do you feel the Spirit yet telling you that you're ready to start a church plant in Hawaii? Because me and Pastor Joe would love to go and take over that church. So I'm still working with that, Pastor Joe. We'll figure it out. But I'm Pastor TJ. I'm the young adult pastor here, and I've been serving here at the church for, I think, 5 or 6 years now, and I love God. I'm passionate. You're going to see it come out of my message today, and so I'm just going to tell you now. I'm going to give you a little secret about myself. If you don't know, I'm black. Not really sure if y'all knew that yet or not, but I just wanted to tell you that, and because of that, I preach different. And I've heard a bunch of preachers, black preachers, say it like this. They're, you know, we call ourselves holler back preachers. So when I say something good, I need somebody to say, amen, yes, shake your head, give a clap or something like that. So we're going to practice. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Yeah, all right. All right. It's going to be that type of day this Sunday. Y'all ready? Look at your neighbor. Say, are you ready? Also, I'm crazy. So if y'all did not catch that yet, too, I'm black and crazy. Woo. Anyway, real quick, before I move any further, I've got to share a testimony and publicly and thank God. Many of you may have saw my Facebook post yesterday. My wife and my 2-month-old daughter were traveling to Tulsa yesterday morning, and it was pouring down, raining, and they hydroplaned. She lost control of the car and 360'd off the road into the ditch. But by the grace of God, they are okay. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was injured. Come on. I'm going to give God praise for that if y'all want. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And so they're okay. She's not singing because she's hurt. So I'm just telling y'all now. Y'all don't have to be like, why are you not singing? Are you okay? She's okay. We prayed over her last night, both of them, and they're both okay. So I say all that to say, I'm usually passionate and fired up, but when the enemy tries to attack my family, when he tries to take them out, I'm like, all right, devil, here we go. Let's go. So look at your neighbor and say, are you ready? I'm telling you, it's about to be good. I'm going to jump right into it. Again, just a disclaimer, I'm a hollaback preacher. I got to have some amens. John Black, you my man back there, man. Well, the last few weeks, Pastor Gene has been talking about the power to change. Everybody say the power to change. And I know some of you heard him say, you know, we're closing out the series, and we were. But, you know, I was so personally impacted by the series. I said, man, Pastor Gene, can I please jump in and tag in on that? He said, yeah, man, sure. So, you know how, like, you know, when you used to buy, when we bought CDs, who even buys CDs anymore? Like, you buy CDs, and then you get to, like, song 12, and soon as song 12 is over, there's another song coming on. It's the bonus track. So today is going to be the bonus track. Is that all right? Today is going to be the bonus track. We've learned over the past few weeks that we have the power to change. Pastor Gene gave us 10 practical steps of what we can use to apply to our lives to see change in our lives. If you missed any message over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I can't remember if it was 3 or 4, but if you missed any one of those, please go back to the website, listen to the podcast, and get those tools in your life. 10 steps for the power to change. And so I'm going to approach it from a different avenue because he's given us plenty of tools. I'm going to talk about one thing specifically that we need to change. Some of y'all are going to get mad, but I still love y'all anyway. But I'm going to talk about one specific thing today. The one thing that we need to change as believers and as just as people, we need to change the way we talk. We need to change the way we talk. Look at your neighbor and say, change the way you talk. Look, I just saw almost three fights just break out just now. I'm like, who do you think you're talking to, brother? Sister? So I'm going to explain what I'm talking about. What are you talking about? We need to change the way you talk. Well, first off, let me go ahead and say, I didn't say that we need to learn how to talk or we need to learn what to say or what to do or anything like that, because we know how to talk. We know what we're saying. We know what we're doing. How do I know that? There's this one little thing called social media that lets me see what everybody is talking about and wanting to talk about. And we're talking about an awful lot. And I've got a little list prepared for y'all. Y'all ready? We're talking about the election. And we're talking about a candidate that we're supporting, or a candidate that we're like, oh no, we better stay away from. And us as believers and things, I see people bickering and going back and forth on this topic. Not saying that you're not supposed to have an opinion, because you are. We are talking about Target and the decision with their bathroom and different things. And again, yeah, I heard some laughing. Again, this is not something that I'm saying you shouldn't have the right to speak your mind on, but I'm, again, just watching on the outside scale of it, how much bickering there is just in the church and the negativity that we're fighting each other. The hottest topic right now, if you haven't seen it, you must have been under a rock, but that thing with the gorilla and the kid, that's all I'm gonna say. That's, I mean, I can't say anything else because I know somebody will probably be really mad at me and shoot me with a trank dart. But we talk about how somebody has hurt us, or somebody has just took us through the ringer and ripped our heart out and stepped on it, and I don't know if I can go on any longer. We talk about how our jobs are not satisfying, and we talk about how I wish I could make some more money, I wish I could do this, I wish I could do that. We're talking about the stress of life is just weighing me down, and I don't know how I can continue and keep going, and all these different things. And what is the common denominator with all of that? Most of that is negative talk. All of that is negative talk. The common denominator is negative talk. And when we want to see change in our lives, we can't afford to talk negative. You know, I was studying for this and I saw a little study that they did on this negative versus positive thing. And the testing was just of 10 people, and they approached them with different scenarios and different things and stuff like that. And 7 out of the 10 people immediately responded negative before they did positive. And that's, if I can be honest, that's how a lot of us are. The very first thing we think, the very first thing we say is negative. And it's 70%, it's running rampant. And when you want to see true change in your life that Pastor Gene has been talking about over the past few weeks, you cannot afford to talk negative about it. You can't. You, because number one, you're wasting time. And number one, you're producing no fruit. So I know all of us probably want change in some type of form or fashion in our life. We want change in our lives or in our situations, but oftentimes the first thing we do is talk negative about it. Pastor Gene says, gives us the 10 steps. He says, you need to apply this to your life. You need to eliminate this from your life. You need to be motivated. You need to be determined. You need to do all these things, all the 10 steps. And we're like preaching, yeah, rah, rah. Go ahead, Pastor Gene. That is so good. And as soon as we get home, I don't know if I can actually really do that. Like, he means I need to apply that to my life. You mean I need to eliminate that? You mean I need to get out of that relationship because I'm finally realizing it ain't no good for me? You think that I need to, I'm not determined enough. I can't celebrate that. You know, I did good for one day, but then I fell back down, and I can't celebrate that. And that's exactly what we do. The first thing we say is we say, God, I can't really change. And so some of us, we've been blessed and moved by these messages that Pastor Gene has given us. And so far, we may feel like maybe we have not seen the change. I want to show you a story here, the story of the lame man. Y'all remember him? 38 years, he sat by the poolside and laid there, and he needed to be healed. Watch how he responded here when Jesus approached him. John chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? Let me stop there real quick, because Jesus was not asking that actually really in the form of a question, I don't think. Because when you ask a question and you have the answer, you're really just making a statement. And he made that statement. He said, would you like to get well? And it's like a thing, like, you know, if I'm telling Big Mike, hey, Big Mike, you want me to get lunch? And he's like, yeah, I want you to get lunch. Like that type of, which, by the way, maybe we can go get lunch later today. We're saying that. And he's like, he said, would you like, so look at that question that way. Jesus is not asking him a question, ask him a question. He's making a statement. He says, would you like to get well? Listen to what the man's response was. I can't. Negative talk right there. Number one thing he said, I can't. Pastor Gene says, apply it to your life. Eliminate this. Be motivated. Be determined. I can't. If I could just be real, we're saying, I can't. I can't. I can't. And the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Do you know? And now the story goes on, and Jesus still healed him anyway. But do you understand that he almost missed his blessing because of his negative talk? My question to you is, what blessing are you missing out on because of your negative talk? Just think about it for a moment. I know this is not a good talk. I know this is not comfortable, but it's the truth. And if we want to see true change in our lives, we cannot afford to talk negative. We must eliminate negative talk. Everybody say, I must eliminate negative talk. Now say it with power. I must eliminate negative talk. Now, the reason why I had you say that a couple times, I'm going to explain here in a minute, because there's power in what you say. We must eliminate negative talk. So that was just a warm up. But if I would give you a paraphrase or what I really want to talk to you about today, it is from this phrase here. Say it, believe it, see it. Say it, believe it, see it. Everybody say, say it, believe it, and see it. Say it plus believe it equals seeing it. I'm not going to waste any time setting this up. I'm going to jump right into it because I'm already starting to feel the fire, y'all. I'm getting excited. So number one, say it. Everybody say, say it. We live in a generation right now that tells us that you can just think things and something will happen. We live in a generation, that's right. We live in a generation that's like, oh yeah, just, you know, if you think good thoughts, if you think good rosy thoughts, then life's going to be good and life's going to be perfect and life's going to be great and you can just go through life like that. And a little bit of it is true because there is a mindset. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there is some truth to that. But also, that is not the whole truth, though. There takes some action with thinking it. Do you believe that these people who are billionaires and trillionaires, and this is not a prosperity message, but I'm just giving you an example. Do you believe that Bill Gates, he just thought up something and then it came to pass? He didn't think up. He thought it up and said, yeah, I'm going to build a computer and it's going to change the world. But it didn't stop there. He had to do more than that. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, he had a thought and said, hey, I'm going to create something that is going to allow everybody to talk to everybody throughout this world. And he didn't stop there. There took more action. We've got all these doctors, all these physicians, all these celebrities, all these talk show hosts, all these people telling you, oh, just think good and good will come to you. And that's not true all the time. Yes, you have to have a mindset, but you can't just think about something and think that it'll be good. If you could think about something, can you imagine how your life would be? For the good and for the bad. You might be rich. You might be living in a penthouse. You might be driving a Bentley, but about a million people would be trying to kill you. If we want to be truthful, if we could just think something up, and sometimes that's what we do. We're like, okay, power to change, God, apply, eliminate, motivation, determination. I was like, brother, you need to go to the bathroom. Are you good? Like, constipated? But it doesn't happen just by thinking about it. No, it goes from thinking about it to saying, I can change. I can move. I can shift. I can make this movement in my life. Stop listening to Oprah telling us that we can just think good and good is going to come. Because it's not going to happen that way. We must say it. Everybody say, say it. When you need change from God, you can't just think about it. You must open your mouth and verbally tell God. I'm going to explain that a little bit later. We must understand, if you don't get anything else that I say today, you must understand that the kingdom of God is voice activated. It's voice. It's not thought activated. It's voice activated. God, he knows your thoughts. He knows your ways. He knows all that stuff. But it is not through your thoughts that things happen and shift in the atmosphere. It is through what you open up your mouth and say. When you say it, that's when it happens. You know, I want to use this example here. How many of y'all have iPhones? Anybody have iPhones? Yeah, yeah. Now, how many of y'all have Android, Samsung, or whatever else? Okay, at the end of service, we're going to have an altar call, and we're going to pray for y'all to get healed and delivered and set free. Because that's a demon y'all got there. No, I'm kidding. Just a little bit. But anyway, iPhone, I love my iPhone, man. I can't lie to y'all. I love it. I always have it with me. That may be a good thing or bad thing. But iPhone users, all y'all know what I'm talking about. We have this amazing thing that I use every single day. You press a button, and her name is Siri. Can we give God a praise for Siri in this place? Hallelujah. Because I'm not good with directions. I'm not good with remembering phone numbers. I'm not good with doing any of that stuff. And so, what I do, and I'm in my car a lot for work. And so what I do, I'm driving and I press the button and Siri says, what would you like? Or how can I help you? And I say, hey Siri, I need the address to this place. Hey Siri, call my wife. Hey Siri, text Big Mike. Hey Siri, read my email. Hey, do this. But the key is to it. I've got to press it and then I say it. If I press it and don't say anything, she says, hello. She says, I'm still listening. Can I help you? She's like, what else can I do for you? She's like, hello. She even calls me by my name, y'all. We got a good relationship. She says, hello, how can I help you, TJ? I'm like, Siri, we're so good. But I press it and I tell her, but there's sometimes if I press it and I don't say anything, then I don't get anything. All right, I'm going to explain it now in God terms. What we do is we come to church and we push God's buttons. We worship him. We stroke his ego. God, I love you. God, I worship you. We receive those 10 tools of change and the power to change. And then God says, all right, you stroke my ego. I'm ready to move on your behalf. What would you like? And we're like this. We don't say nothing. We don't say nothing. And then that little sound like Siri come on. Ding, ding. God says, ding, ding. Hey, I'm here. How can I help you? I'm listening. What do you have to say? Nothing. So my point with that is if you don't open your mouth and tell God what you want, he can't answer you. All right. I'm going to leave that one alone because I saw some of y'all getting mad. I'm going to give you another one, though. This one may make you even more mad. Sometimes we act like toddlers. How many of y'all, I know many of y'all have had toddlers. I'm about to have a toddler in about a year and a half or so. Y'all pray for me right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But I've been around toddlers. I have a niece and a nephew, and I've been around several toddlers. But you know when they're younger and you're really trying to get them to work on their speech and talking and different things and stuff like that, you may be watching them from across the room and you see what actually happens and stuff, and maybe they're there, maybe they fall or get hurt, or maybe they're trying to reach something and they're like, and you can't get it. And then they come to you, and you're like, my baby's speaking in tongues, hallelujah. He's like, come on, baby, speak it out. I'm sorry, that would be my reaction. When my baby starts doing that, I'm going to be like, yeah, girl, speak it. Anyway, I told y'all it was crazy. Anyway, so they come up to you and you're like, okay, I saw what happened. Okay, but I need you to tell me what happened. I need you to tell me what you need. I need you to take the pacifier out of your mouth and tell me what you need. I saw what happened. I saw it, but tell me, Tell me what you need. You're working on your speech. You're working on that thing. And sometimes we're like that with God. We run up to God. God, he did it. And God's like, I saw it. I saw everything. I saw how it happened. But I need you to open your mouth and tell me what you need. I need you to say it. I need you to, some of us need to take the pacifier out of our mouth. We need to mature a little bit and say, God, this is what I need. Everybody say, say it. You've got to open up your mouth and say it. Now, some of y'all are like, all right, he said all that. He ain't give you no scriptures. Well, get your notepad out. I'm about to give y'all a whole bunch of them. I'm going to back this thing up. Everybody say, back this thing up. Actually, no, don't say that in church. No, don't. Don't. I just, Lord Jesus, pray for me. All right, let's move forward. James chapter 4, verse 2 says it like this. You have not because what? You ask not. That scripture is just saying you may not have the change in your life. You may not have the shift or the move in your life that you want to. Yes, you heard the messages, but if you did not go home and say, Holy Spirit, I need help in this area, then he cannot give it to you. So you have not because you ask not. Philippians 4:6 says it like this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Everybody stops there, but look at the rest of the verse. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Proverbs 18:21 says it like this. Life and death are in the power of the what? Of the tongue. What does that mean? That means if you need change in your life, if you need a situation to move or shift in your life, you will either give it life or you will either give it death by saying it or not saying it. Mark 11:23, this is probably my favorite one. This is Jesus talking now. Like, these are those red letters. It says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, you can say to this change, you can say to this struggle, you can say to this addiction, you can say to this lust, you can say to this financial trouble, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea. And my favorite part, and it will happen. Somebody should give. I'm a hollowback preacher. Somebody give. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying if you say it, then it will happen. If you say it, it will happen. But you can't think it and it will happen. You must open this thing up right here and say, God, I need change in my life. So we see with those scriptures how important it is when you want change in your life. You must say it. Do you understand, y'all, that there are certain things in life that you cannot do without saying it? Let me prove it to you. First thing, you can't get saved without confessing. Confessing means talking. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess, if you say with your what? Mouth, and you believe with your heart, then what? You will be saved. Say it, believe it, see it. Y'all see where I'm going? You must say it, believe it, and then you will see it. You can't get married without saying something. You stand right here at the altar, and the minister looks at you and says, repeat after me. If you sit there and say, I don't know what I'm getting into, so I can't, pastor, go ahead. No, you must repeat what he says. You can't testify or be a witness in court without saying anything. You get up there on court and they have you raise your right hand and all that good stuff. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Uh-huh. And then they say, all right, on the night of May 15th, 1983, what happened? Nothing. You can't be a witness without saying anything. And this is all me right here. This is not scripture, it's not biblical or anything. If you want to take this, you can. If you don't, it's fine. But I believe you can't love without saying it. Let me prove it. Because I know some of y'all are like, well, actions speak louder than words. And they do. Don't trust me. I'm learning it in my young age. I'm learning it in my young marriage. That if I do the dishes, I get a lot more love than when I'm just kicking it back like this. So, but at the same time, I dare any one of you husbands to go a month, better yet, go a week without telling your wife you love her and see what happens. Come back and tell me. I'm not going to try it. I want you to try it and see what happens. But she knows I love her. I work hard for her. I provide. I do all. She does know you love her. But at the same time, she wants to hear you open up in mouth and say, babe, I love you. Do you know that God is the same way? He knows you love him. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't love him. But at the same time, he wants you to open up in your mouth and say, God, I adore you. I praise you. There's nothing greater than you. You are the head and control. I'm a hollerback preacher. Somebody say amen. God, I just need you in my life. You must open your mouth and say it. This is probably my favorite part of the message right here, and I got to hurry up. Satan is not afraid of your posture. He's afraid of your confession. I'm going to get excited now. He is not afraid of your posture. He's afraid of your confession. What do you mean? He is not afraid that you are in church. Let me explain, because some of y'all are like, what? He's not afraid of you being in church. Why do you say that? This is my opinion, and if you don't want to take it, it's fine. But there are millions of people that are in church right now that will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he's not afraid of you being here. He's not afraid of that. But when you come to church and you say, all right, God, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I am going to apply these things to my life. I am going to be more determined than ever. I'm going to be motivated, and I'm going to see change in my life. When you say that, then the enemy is like, oh man, now I got a problem, because now they're not just in church. Now they're speaking things. They're saying things. They're confessing things. Now I got to send things to attack them. Even when things attack you, Satan, I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus. You cannot hold me. You cannot steadfast. Fast, that's when the enemy cannot have a hold on you. That's when the enemy can't have a hold on you. So he's not afraid of your posture. He's afraid of your confession. We can trace this principle of saying it all the way back to God. Let me prove it really quickly. Genesis chapter 1, the creation chapter, verse 3. Then God what? One more time. Then God what? Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. I want you to get this, because God is God, and he could have created the world any type of way that he wanted to. He could have shook his leg, and the world would have been created. He could have did one of those things, and the world would have been created. He could have pointed, and light would have came. No, but he showed us the principle of opening your mouth and saying something, and then it has to be created. Ooh, are y'all getting this morning? God said, let there be light, and there was what? Light. He opened his mouth. He said, let there be waters among the earth. Let the waters be parted, and let there be dry ground. He said these things, and then it happened. I want to tell somebody in this place this morning, if you learn to say it and open up your mouth, then that thing, that situation, that answer to that problem and solution will have to create itself, because you opened up your mouth and said, God, I trust you. I know that you will get me to the next level. I know that you will give me change. And then guess what happens? Then it happens. You change, you get better, you get stronger. You must say it. And then my favorite part, even Jesus followed this principle. Jesus was on the cross, y'all, flesh hanging from him, his beard plucked out, they put that crown on his head of thorns, dug it in his inside, they poked him in the side, they did all these things, he's nailed. And what you got to know about crucifixion, when you die, you don't die because of the pain of all this stuff. It's because of suffocation. The fluid in your lungs and stuff have built up. And even through all of that pain, Jesus sat there through his last breath and he said, oh God. He could have easily just said and just died. But no, he knew the power in opening his mouth. And he said, even up to the last minute, he said, it is finished. And then do you know what happened? When he opened his mouth and said, it is finished, grace was released throughout the entire world. And now we can live freely, we can be happy, we can be whole. Why? Because Jesus, even through his last breath, he opened his mouth and knew the principle of saying. It is finished. I want to encourage somebody this morning that I don't know what it is that you're going through. Maybe you're going through depression. Maybe you're going through financial troubles. Maybe you're going through being lonely for a divorce. But I promise you, if you open up your mouth and say, in the name of Jesus, it is finished, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be finished. If you're dealing with struggles of anxiety, of thought lives, of negativity, I promise you, if you open up your mouth and say, it is finished, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be finished. If you're trying to move to the next level in life, and it seems like something keeps holding you back, like Pastor Gene just said, if you turn around and say, no, 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 in the name of Jesus, you can't hold me any longer. It is finished. It will be finished. Somebody say, it is finished. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, it is finished. Now give God a praise in this place if you believe it's finished. As Nick comes at this time, I got 5 minutes and then I'm done. I have a towel in my bag. Y'all know I sweat crazy. Can somebody throw that to me, please? Second point, I'm going to go through it real quick. Believe it. Everybody say, believe it. This is the hardest part of the equation. You can say it. Thank you, Pastor Jeremiah. You can say it till you're blue in the face. But can't just say it. You got to believe it. Got to believe what you say. We can say it, but sometimes it's so hard, and I don't have time to go into it in depth like I thought, because I knew that the Spirit of God was going to move on that say it. But we must believe it, and to believe it, you must have faith. Everybody say faith. You must have faith. What is faith? One of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews 11:1, says faith. Some interpretations say now faith, because if you say something, you can't believe it in 2 weeks. You can't believe it in 3 weeks. You got to believe it now. So now faith is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. Is the confidence that what we hope for, what we say, what we open up our mouth and say will actually happen. That's what believing it is. Is faith. Is knowing that when you open your mouth and say it, it will actually happen. 1 John 5:14-15 says it like this. And we are confident. There's that word again. We are confident that he hears us when we ask for anything. Not yet, guys. That pleases him. And since he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. I love that. I love that scripture. But we got to understand, when we truly believe that God can work, when we truly believe, then God can actually work. I want to share this short testimony with you real quick. 2 years, we've been married for almost 4 years now, but we got married, and I remember we put our finances together and everything, and we saw, and we were like, oh, Lord, we got some debt, and this wasn't no small number. It was a big number, and my wife said, okay. She said, we're going to be debt-free in 2 years. And I said, because I mean, we blessed, but we ain't rich. And I looked at the thing, I said, well, you better praise them, baby. Isn't that so sweet? She said, we're going to be debt-free in 2 years. And she said it, but then she didn't just say it. She believed it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, and I'm seeing things starting to happen. I'm here to tell, she said, in 2 years, we will be debt-free. I'm here to tell you that in a year and 10 months, we are now sitting completely debt-free. I'm going to give God praise for that. Woo! Why did it happen? She said it. She believed it. And now we see it. Y'all get what I'm saying today? We must say it. We must believe it. And then we can see it. Even Jesus instructs us to believe. Mark 11, chapter 23, or verse 23 through 24. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain. We talked about this part of the scripture earlier. May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe it, that you have received it, it will be yours. I want you to see that, because it says that you've received it. It says, if you believe it, you have already received it. I'm going to say it one more time. If you say it, then you really believe it. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till you see it, until it happens, because sometimes change doesn't happen overnight. But you just got to know, God, okay, I am going to be better. I'm going to be stronger. You say it, you believe it, then you will see it. Then you will see it. But belief is a mindset, of expectation. I don't have time to go into this, but when you expect something, you know it will happen, right? When you sat down in that chair, you expected it to hold you, correct? When you, I'm going to use her for an example because we use her intro. When you go to a Carrie Underwood concert, you expect a great show. When you got in your car this morning, you expect it to start. Well, maybe some of y'all, maybe it may not. It might be putting a little bit. You like, there it is. It started. But you gotta, you know, when you have a belief and an expectation, you know it will happen. I'm closing with this story. One of my most favorite stories is the woman with the issue of blood. She had this mindset of expectation. Found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. And I want you to see it. It says, just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him, him being Jesus, and touched the edge of his cloak. Watch this. She what? Come on, she what? She said to herself, if I only could touch the cloak of his garment, I will be healed. She said it, then she believed it, and then a few verses later, guess what happened? She was healed. I want y'all to get it. Now let me really explain it to you, because she was bleeding for 12 years. Some of us in here have lost blood before, and you know when that happens, you know, you get weak, you get lowly. And so when some people give that explanation, and it may be true, we don't know, we weren't there, but some people say, oh, she pushed her way and she went and she got to Jesus. I don't necessarily see that. A woman who was struggling with bleeding for 12 years, she didn't have that strength to be pushing people around. But she knew where Jesus was. That's key. And I believe she crawled. And she said, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I can get there, but I know that if I get to him, then I will be healed. And so she crawled. She looked at other people's feet, people who were standing over, and said, you're not good enough. You'll never change. You won't be better. You can't apply that to your life. You can't eliminate that. Who do you think you are going to that Destiny Church? You're nobody. And so she saw all these people's feet, and she crawled in agony. She probably stumbled, and she got up, and she said out of her own mouth, if I can get to Jesus, if I can get there and I touch him, it's not going to be a hope. It's not going to be a wish. It's not going to be a maybe. She said, I will be healed. And so I want to hear somebody today that I know you are going through struggles and you're like, I need to see a change in my life. And maybe you're just like that woman with the issue of blood. You can only crawl. You've only got the strength to crawl. And sometimes you fall. Sometimes you get up. But I encourage you, if you open up your mouth and say, in Jesus' name, this divorce won't take me out. In Jesus' name, this financial struggle won't take me out. In Jesus' name, I will be graced. I will be healed. My heart will be healed, because when I touch Jesus, I will be healed. Say it, believe it, see it. Did y'all get that today? Say it, believe it, see it. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want to close with my personal testimony. Many of you have heard it before, some of you may have not. The biggest time in my life that I needed change, for about 8 years, from about middle school all the way to freshman, sophomore year in college, I, Pastor TJ, was addicted to pornography. I didn't just watch it to enjoy it. I was addicted to it. And there was no way for me to get out of it. I tried everything. I did the whole thing of where I just, God, I'll get better. God, I'll do better. God, I'll do better. God, I'll do better. And this is just in my mind. I'm not saying it. My mouth was closed. But finally, everybody say finally. Once I saw the power in opening my mouth and saying, God, I cannot do this without you. I need help. I want to see change in my life. I don't want to be this gross man. I don't want to be this vile person. And some of y'all may be looking at me weird now. I don't care. This is my testimony. This is what happened to me. And I said to God, I was like, God, I can't do it anymore. I need your help. And as soon as I said it, there was this confidence that came over me. And no longer did that computer have a hold over me anymore. No longer did my cell phone have a hold on me anymore. No longer was I tempted by lust and different things and trials and all these different things. I opened up my mouth and I said, God, I need change. And I said it and I believed it. And now y'all get to see it every Sunday morning. I jump around, I dance. Now you see. Now you see. If you didn't know that story, now you know why I jump around and I sweat and I crawl and I get on the floor and I'll do all these sorts of things to get you into the presence of God. Because I know what it did for me. I know how it changed me. And I know how when I said it, I believed it. And now I'm free. I'm free, y'all. I'm free. I'm free. Thank you, Lord. I want that for some of you. Maybe it's not pornography. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's whatever it is, I want that for you. I want you to be truly free, the power to change. You must say it and you must believe it, then you will see it. If you know you have something in your life right now that you know you need change and you're not too proudful and you're not too boastful, you say, God, I want to be free. Help me. Get out of your seats and get down to this aisle right now. Come on. Come on. Be bold about it and say, God, I need change. Come on, nobody's looking around. Nobody cares about what it is. I'm not telling you to tell anybody. But if you want to see true change, sometimes you got to do things that you've never done before. And so if that's you stepping out of your seat and getting a little bit uncomfortable, then do it. Whatever it takes to see to have the power of change. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. But I want you to know, the only reason why I'm free now, not because of me, not because I came to church, not because I'm a pastor now or I knew that was going to happen, all that good stuff. No, it was only because of him. Do y'all hear me? It was only because of him. I'm not good enough, whether y'all think, oh man, he can sing, he's anointed and all that good stuff. That is not me. That's all God. That's all God. I take no credit for it at all. The only reason why I could be free was because of him. Brother, I don't know your name right now, but God is setting you free right now in this moment. I need y'all to stretch your hands this way. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you see the brokenness. You see the pain in his life, God. And God, now he stepped out of his comfort zone and said, God, I want to receive that change. I'm not going to be prideful. I'm not going to be boastful, but I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to say, God, I need it. And then when I say it, I'm going to believe it. And before I walk out of this door, I am going to see it. In Jesus' name, we speak change, we speak healing to his heart, we speak freedom to his heart, and freedom to his mind. In Jesus' name, come on, somebody give God a shout of praise in this place. Now Now we're about to sing this last song that just simply says, we're just going to take 2 minutes. I know I went a little bit longer. That just says, in Him, I am free. I want you to get that. It's not you. You can't do it. You cannot do it. It's only in Him that you are free. And that death can't hold you. Nothing can hold you any longer. Are y'all ready to lift it up in this place? Come on. Come on, lift it up and sing it. In Him.
In Him, I am free.
Come on.
Death has no hold on me.
Come on. Chains forever broken.
Chains forever broken.
Come on, say it.
In Him I am whole.
Come on, peace is still my soul.
Peace has still my soul.
In Him.
In Him.
I will not be shaken.
I will not be.
Come on,
shaken.
Receive that change. Forever broken. One more time, lift up your hands. I want you to pray for you. Father, we thank you for this word, God, that was given to us today. God, we pray that we are encouraged to open our mouths, to tell you what we need. No longer are we going to just walk around and think it and hope it and wish it. But God, we will put our faith into action and we will open up our mouth and say, God, I need you. I want to change. I need to change. I open up my mouth and I declare into the atmosphere and it will be created. God, I pray there's a new strength release to all of us, a new joy, God, and we are going to say it, we're going to believe it, and we are going to see the change in our lives, in Jesus' name. If you believe it, don't give Him a weak praise, give Him a shout of praise in this place. Come on, give Him a shout of praise in this place. Come on, we can do better than that. Give Him a shout. Hallelujah. Did y'all receive that word this morning? Amen. Listen, next week, don't you dare miss it. All Sunday long is going to be the gathering. Either service you come to, Pastor Daniel from Atlanta, Georgia will be here. It's going to be an awesome time. We are going to have a pre-party for the night service out in the back parking lot. There's going to be food trucks. There's going to be music. And then we're going to come back in here at 6 o'clock and we're going to blow the roof off this place. So I want to see y'all next week for the gathering. Give somebody a high five, a hug, and say it's good to see you this morning.